Amen. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Anybody agree? Our God's an awesome God? All right. It's another week. Another week begins. You can't begin a week better than begin in the house of God with your friends, your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't find a better time. But sometimes, I'm sure some of you have walked into church, and I'm a minister, and sometimes it happens. It's like it's Sunday again. Anybody? You know, it's like, sometimes it becomes a religion. You ought to, you should, you need to, you have to. It becomes some ritual. You know, it becomes some tradition, you know, church and being a Christian and following God. You know, it becomes this kind of, you know, well, I just have to do this. Sometimes being a Christian becomes old. Anybody? Sometimes trying to do the Christian life becomes kind of like, here we go again. You know, you want to, you try to, but some of the joy isn't quite there. Some of that peace that you had when you first started, it's kind of like, yeah. You know, and I want to think about this morning. You know, we started this series on the names of God because I wanted to kind of do a series kind of like on some doctrine. I wanted to kind of do some things to kind of like, what can we learn about God? So I thought the names of God would be one. And we kind of began the series talking about how names were so important. You know, when they named somebody, it was really significant. It was kind of like they wanted that child to grow up to fit that name. Or they would change the child's name as that child began to form certain abilities. And they would change his name because the names were important. And so what I kind of chose to do was kind of pick some of the names of God. And just for them to kind of say, what can we learn from God by his name? And what I want to learn from God's name this time, what I want us to think about this time about God's name is, he's always there. But where are we? Because sometimes we kind of slip away from God. We get busy. Things are going on. You know, the old saying, people to see, things to do, places to go. And we just kind of get busy. And yeah, God's part of our life, but he's not where he used to be. You know, sometimes we take these big leaps, and it's just like, well, I know God says don't, but I don't care. And we just jump in. Sometimes we've been hurt, maybe abused in life, and it's kind of like, where was God when this happened to me? Where was God when... You know, or sometimes we've been in a church and we get hurt in church. And if you've been in church long enough, you know things happen in churches. You know, what do we do and how do we react? And what happens when we kind of just, that joy, that initial joy. I can remember when I accepted Christ. I remember the day I got baptized and the excitement and what it was like and just the anticipation. And then it kind of becomes duty. It kind of becomes, well, yeah, and we just kind of slide. You know, as a pastor, it's fun because one of the things is, as a pastor, you know, when you miss one Sunday, you really feel bad. You know, I missed a Sunday. You miss two Sundays in church and it's like, yeah, I missed another Sunday. Once you miss three, the truth is, here's the deal. Once you miss three Sundays in church, it's like, who cares? That's the truth. But then here's the opposite thing. It takes 7 weeks for it to become a habit again. You can get out of the habit in three, but 7 weeks to make it. Yeah. What do we do? And so this morning, I gave the name here. If you look at your outline there, I got this name. Jehovah Sid Canu. All right. I looked it up. I listened to several different people pronounce it. I can remember when I was at Golden Gate Seminary, when you first semester, you take your Hebrew class, the professor would walk in, Dr. Akins would walk in, and you could hear the hallways because you chanted the Hebrew alphabet. And so you knew it was the first semester, kids, again, you know, because I had to do it my first semester, you know. And I struggled with it. I did much better in Greek than I did with Hebrew. I think the best pronunciation is Sid Canu. Is the best pronunciation. But it talks about the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. And that's what I want to think about this morning. I want us to kind of think about this morning. God is our righteousness. Because here's the picture. Here's this guy named Jeremiah. He's a young man, probably in his 20s. I could see Jeremiah in today's world sitting at his house, you know, Xbox 360 or PlayStation, what, 100 now? I don't know how many PlayStations out there they have now. 4, 5, I don't know what number it's up to now. You know, they have it, and he's sitting there with his joy, and he's playing this game, and Jeremiah, I got something for you to do. It's like, is it? You know, wait, who's talking to me? You know, you can even hear those games, right? Come on, some of you guys that play that, you put those earphones on, you're talking to some guy in Germany. You know, my son does that, all right? You know, I can see Jeremiah. Here's this young man sitting there, and he's been following God. He's been worshiping God, and God says, Jeremiah, I got something I want you to do. Put that joystick down, and I want you to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to take a message to Jerusalem. Now, you need to understand, Jerusalem today would be like New York. It'd be the center of the country of Israel. It's where everything centered at. The religious things centered there. The commerce centered there. Everything centered in Jerusalem. And God calls this 20-something-year-old kid. Says, you got to go to Jerusalem. Because I want you to talk to them face to face. I want you to look in the eyes. And I want them to look into your eyes. I want them to hear this message. And I think this message is what I think we need to hear. Because sometimes we do just kind of slip away. Sometimes we do. We say, yeah, God, I know you say that, but... You know, sometimes we have been hurt and we wonder where God's at. Sometimes we've even been hurt and it's been in the church. And God's saying, Jeremiah, I want you to go talk to these people. And he has a message. I want you to look at it. It's a long passage, but kind of look at what he's saying here. Follow along, Jeremiah chapter 2. Verses 2 through 5. Go and speak to the people of Jerusalem, saying, this is what the Lord says. It's God's message. I want to show you. This is God's message. This is not my message. This is not my thoughts on this, Jeremiah saying. This is what God says. Now, as I read this, I want you to notice the tense. Now, English, you know, is not my best subject. Some of you know that really well. But I do know tenses, and this is a past tense. So I want you to notice how many past tenses are in this. And I want you to get a picture of what Jeremiah is saying here. I remember how faithful you were to me when you were a young nation. You loved me like a young bride. You followed me through the desert, a land that had never been planted. He's telling these people, I want you to, we're just going to pause. He's telling these people, remember. This is where you were. Remember as I walked you through the wilderness. You were hungry and I fed you. You didn't like this, the manna, so I gave you quail. Remember you were thirsty and I gave you something to drink. Remember you had shoes that never wore out for 40 years. How much would you like to buy a pair of shoes that never wore out for 40 years? He said, remember all this. Remember how you were faithful, how you walked with me, how you loved me. Remember all of this. The people of Israel were holy to the Lord, like the first fruits of the harvest. Those who tried to hurt Israel were judged guilty. Remember, I protected you. I protected you. I was there for you. Disasters struck them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, family of Jacob, all you family groups of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Now listen, he says, remember all this. Remember how you were. I was fair to your ancestors. So why did they turn away from me? Why don't you underline that? Why did they turn away from me? Your ancestors worshiped useless idols and become useless themselves. So I want to ask, why is it sometimes we turn away from God? Why is it we get busy and we turn away from God? We used to be, we used to do this, we used to. But now, I used to read my Bible every day. I used to pray. I used to call. I used to go to Bible study. I used to. But we get busy. We get hurt. We wonder where God's at. And we wrestle with these things. See, I like this. Do you see this in today's world? Can this be talking to us today in our lives? Just as in Jeremiah's time, that life is just, yeah, God, we were here. And I want to challenge us. You know, what do we do? How do we live? How does this play out in our lives? And where does it go? Why do we walk away from God? Why do we sometimes turn our back on God? You know, you're single, you go on a date, and you go out, and all of a sudden you find yourself in this precarious situation. What do you do? You know, how do you respond? You know, am I dead to my old self? Am I living a new life? Is the past the past? You're sitting there at the computer. You're a guy. You're sitting at the computer, and all of a sudden there's a little image pops up over here, a little pop-up. And it's a half-naked girl. What do? You know? Yeah. You just, well, how do we respond? You know? I'm going to give you a big one for me. This is a big one for me. It's going to be a mess. Just so you know, 99 North at Palindale is closed for 3 weeks. All right. What are you going to do when you go down Salida Boulevard here and you get down the end by McDonald's, right? Come on. And you sit there through four lights to turn on the Palindale. Now, come on. Don't tell me you don't do that. What do you do? It's four lights, and that idiot in front of you doesn't go. Yeah, it's red, but you go. What do? Do we get an attitude? Do you call him an idiot? What do? You know, well, God, I love you. God, I'm just slipping. You know, most of us don't jump away from God. Most of us just kind of slide away from God. You know? What do? You go out on a date. It's date night. And you're out on a date, and it's date night. And the service is horrible. What do? I want to impress my date, so I'm going to yell and scream at him, right? See, what do we do when these situations come up? You know, how does that? Am I a different person? Is it so easy to slide away? Is it so easy to get caught up in this world? Well, everybody else is doing it. It's not that bad. You know, do we make God a religion? You know, the ought-tos, the have-tos. Do we make it a ritual? For me, I don't know about you, but I see the event going on over there across the street. I see this as a ritual. Am I right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about? You know, there's nothing behind it. There's an emptiness. See, and I see Jeremiah come along and say, where were you? Why? I've done so much for you. How many of us here could stand here and say, God has done da, 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 da? Ron and I were just talking about during the greeting about how much God has done and how God does miracles. How many of us could give testimony to what God has done in our lives, or God has done some of one of our friends, or God has moved in our neighborhood, or God has moved in our children, our grandchildren? And we have all these testimonies, and God says, why have you moved away from me? That's kind of what he's saying here. So if you look at your outline, I want to put it this way. Jehovah Sid Canu is calling you back to the journey of righteousness. God is saying, come back. Come back. I'm waiting for you. There is an old me and a new me. That's the past. That's the old. That's then. This is now. This is a new me. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I have a new heart. I'm cleansed. And God is calling us back to this righteousness. Now, if you want to write a definition of righteousness, I know I gave it up here, the Lord our righteousness. Righteousness for me is real simple. I'll make it a simple definition. Write it down somewhere on your notes. Relationship with God. That's what righteousness is. It's a right relationship with God. And God is calling us back to that right relationship. But it's so easy for us to kind of slip away. It's so easy for us to get caught up. I got hurt. And where was God? Somebody passed away in my family and God wasn't there. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. And it just feels like God's not there. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God's not there, I can tell you who moved. And it ain't God. Like I told you, English is not my best subject. And it ain't God. And God is calling us back to this righteousness. He's calling us to walk with him. And look at this passage of scripture here. I like how it words here. Look at what it goes here. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, when also will appear with him in glory, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. He's saying, die to this old self. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. I want you to notice, once walked. You once were like this when you were living in them. But now you must put them away, all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, with your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off this old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of his creator. See, God is sitting there saying, you are a new creature. And so what I want to challenge you with this morning is I want you to see you as a new righteousness this morning. That the old self is gone. That it's so easy to get caught up. It's so easy to get pulled down. It's so easy to get sidetracked. God has done so much for us. Could you hear God say to you, why have you walked away? Why have you turned your back? Why? See, can you see God saying? And God said, I've done so much for you, and I want to do much for you. What does the scripture tell us? That he wants to bless us and cause us to prosper. Is that what it tells us? And bad things happen and troubles happen. But when God walks with you through those, that's what I look at people and I look at life and as a minister and I see people go through life's issues and I wonder how they go through it without God. How can they go through those situations and those circumstances? Somebody passes away. Somebody attacks them. Something happens in their life. They lost their job. Their finances blew up. Whatever it is. How do you go through life without God? I don't get it. But it's so easy to slide away. It's so easy to turn our back on God. And so I want to begin this morning's message by saying God's calling you back. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's happened in your life. God is calling you back. You may have faced abuse and wonder where God was during that abuse. Where was God when I was sexually abused as a young woman? Where was God when I was abused by these individuals? Where was God when... Why did God allow this to happen? What's my purpose in life? I just don't know what life's all about. I'm going to call you. God is saying, come back. I'll be your righteousness. I'll be that right relationship. I will give you that right relationship. Come back. But as I'm talking about this, I want to make sure I want to kind of go back before that because, you know, some people need to begin the relationship. If you look at your outline, I put it this way. Some people need to begin the journey of righteousness. There's a time in your life where you got to reach a point. You guys know where I'm going, right? Anybody been here a while? You got to come to a time and a point where you reach a point in your life where you say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. You got to reach that point where you surrender your will to God and say, I'm going to quit sliding this way. I'm going to start sliding this way. And I want to be who God called me. Because I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get there by good works, by good things. I like this scripture. Look at what it says. Everyone, who's everyone? Everyone has turned away. Together they have become rotten to the core. I like looking up different translations, how they word things, because it's fun to find some of the way. I like the one last week I read that had the word stupid in it. It's like, yeah, I know that one. I can be stupid sometimes. I was stupid this week. Anybody? I did something stupid. I got to make an apology later on because I did something stupid this week. No one, not even one person, does good things. Well, I'm not that bad. Is that okay? I'm not that bad. Does that sound good? Can I be practically perfect? You guys know me, right? Mary Poppins and Gary, practically perfect. Does that really work? You know, is that how God works? Is that what God is after? We're all sinners. We're all guilty. You know, I could have pulled out all those verses in Romans, but I tried to pull out some Old Testament and some new verses for us to look at. And, you know, and as I looked at it, because there's a consequence. I told the kids we had vacation Bible school, and I had this little book like this. Anybody go through the class in vacation Bible when I talked about this little book like this? This little book like this, it was a real simple message I told the kids. It's got a nice little, it's supposed to be a gold page. I'm colorblind, so I asked those to help me pick it out. It's kind of goldish. Yeah. And God created a great, big, beautiful world. Everybody agree with that? Didn't God create a great, big, beautiful world? A great, big, beautiful, called it a Garden of Eden. Created this great, big, beautiful world for us to enjoy. But in the midst of that beautiful world, there was a tree, and that tree said, God said what? Don't eat of that tree. I love it. God gave one commandment. One, not ten. His first one was one. We couldn't even do one. And there's darkness came upon the world. Sin came into the world. Darkness came into the world. And because sin came into the world, there has to be punishment, right? I told the kids in VBS, you ever do anything wrong? Your parents punish you? They all go, yeah. You know, that was a foregone conclusion for them. You got to be punished. So Jesus had to die. I got a little red page for Jesus dying on the cross. He died on the cross. He paid that punishment. He took my punishment. Instead of me getting grounded, or when I was growing up, I had a nice belt I didn't wear. Well, I did wear it a different way. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's punishment. Jesus took our punishment. And he forgave us of our sins and he cleansed us. Watch this. White as snow, the scripture says. And we can live and grow, and that's what I'm talking about today, the righteousness of God. Yeah. And so sin has a punishment. And I went all the way back, as I'm looking at my notes, I went all the way back to Genesis for the punishment of sin. Look at what it says here. And the Lord commanded man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat it, you will surely die. Now, did they took a bite, they killed over dead, right? Anybody know the story? You know that's not true, right? But death entered because of sin. Death entered the world because of sin. You got to reach that point because that sin has been, all of us are sinners. Anybody here not a sinner? You guys don't raise your hands anyway. That's an easy one. Gives you a good reason not to raise your hand, right? So if I ask it the other way, if anybody here is a sinner, you still wouldn't raise your hand. Some of you would. Yeah. We are all sinners. We all. Look again. All of us are dirty with sin. All the right things we have done are like filthy pieces of cloth. All of us are like dead leaves and our sins, like the wind, have carried us away. He's getting this, all of us. You know, we're all sinners. We've all had this. So what do I do? And I go back to the first Ephesians. If you want to memorize, there's a few scriptures you should memorize. Everybody should memorize John 3:16, right? Everybody agree with me on that one? Here's another one everybody should remember. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, that relationship with God. I want to tell you something. Righteousness is a gift from God. I want to paint a picture for you. You are not righteous because you do good things. Because what does it say here? Nobody does what? Good things. You are not righteous because you don't do certain things either. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that. You are not righteous because of what you do or you don't do. You are righteous because of what Jesus Christ did. Do you see this picture God is painting here? You reach that point in your life. You hear me talk about that invisible line on the ground. There's this invisible line. You can walk an aisle in a church. You can get baptized. We're going to do one shortly. You can shake a preacher's hand. You can do all those kind of things. Do all the good things. But until you reach a point in your life where you say something like this, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. come into my life and take control. And you cross that invisible line, and God clothes you with righteousness. Look at what it says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Underline that, the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself, as a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. He's saying there's a joy. I remember the day I accepted Christ. I remember the day when I've led people to the Lord. I remember in a youth group, and we're sitting there. We'd been praying for this young man, and I get a chance to share, and this young man accepts. And we're all crying, and we're all celebrating. We're all having fun because there was such a joy. See, God clothes us with righteousness. I want to tell you something. You are righteous with God today, not because you do what is right, because you have a relationship with God based on faith. Do you see the picture? Why? And so when God cries out, why have you turned away? Why have you walked away? He's given you all this. And he's going, why? Why do we do those dumb things? Why do I click on that image when it comes out on the computer? Why do I lose my attitude when I'm driving down the road? Why do I put myself in these precarious situations where it's hard? Why? You know, and God asks that. And so I want to challenge us. You're righteous. Your righteousness is not based on what you've done. Your righteousness is based on Jesus Christ. I love that. He clothed you. He's covered you with righteousness. They must be having fun over there. Yeah. But he's clothed us with righteousness. He's clothed us with that. There might be pain in your life. There might be hurts in your life. There might be abuse in your life. And it hurt, and it doesn't justify, and it doesn't make it right, and it's bad. But God sits there, and he wants to clothe you with righteousness. You've made some decisions that you regret, some decisions that you have heartache over, some decisions that you're still living in the pain that you've made and regrets that you have. But God sits there and says, I'm going to make you righteous. Do you see God saying, I want to clothe you? I want to put my arms around you. You're my people. Why do you walk away so often? Why do you turn your back? Why? So I want to challenge us this morning as I looked at the message. I was going to end right here. But as I was praying and working on this sermon, matter of fact, so you know, I was writing all this sermon. I come down and do different things. I had a meeting to go to, and I thought I was pretty much done with the sermon. And then God says, no, you got to add another point. So I'm going to take more of your time and tell you another point. Is that okay? Yeah. Because I thought that was it. But see, there's a problem with righteousness. It's called self-righteousness. See, there's a problem of self-righteousness. So I put it this way. When God calls us on this journey to righteousness, we need to beware of self-righteousness. Like all my bees, back, begin, and beware. Back to God, begin with God, and beware of self-righteousness. We need to be careful with our lives. It's so easy, I don't know about you, but it's so easy to see the problems in others. This is what Israel's problem was. I like a passage. It's in Genesis chapter 12. God appears to Abraham, and God tells Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to the whole world. All nations will be blessed by you, Abraham. God's intention from the beginning was to save everybody, right? Anybody on board with me? I don't care if you're a Jew or not. God's going to save you. It didn't matter. We sang a song in VBS when I went through VBS. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in his sight. You guys know it, all right. Yeah. We sung songs like that. And God sat there and loved everybody. But the Jews got this idea that God was theirs. And it was their God. And they had to take care of God. And they had to protect God from the heathens, from the Gentiles. For anyone that wasn't a Jew, they had to protect God from them. And there was problems. Because God wanted them that were out there in here. See, I'm going to make it real plain. Who does God want in here? Everyone out there. Would anybody agree with me? I mean, he wants your neighbor. You know that neighbor you don't like? He wants him. He loves him. You know? That worker that you work with that's a pain, that stabs you in the back all the time? God loves him. See, God cares. But sometimes we fall into this trap of self-righteousness. I have this passage here. Look at what it says. Yes, everything else is worthless when I compare the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discovered everything else, counting it all garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He's saying there, I want to be one with God. I want Jesus to be in my life, and I want to be a representation of God. I want others to see Jesus in me so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness. I no longer count on all the good things I do. Through obeying the law, all the good things I do, rather I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way making us right with himself depends on faith. See, we get caught up in self-righteousness because we think righteousness comes from actions. We think righteousness comes from behavior. We think righteousness comes from attitude. We think righteousness comes from when you live right, you do right, then you are righteous. That's called self-righteous. Righteousness is a relationship with God. I got a picture here that I enjoy. Look at this picture. You like that picture? It's based on Scripture. The guy's got a big old log in his eye. Look at what the Scripture says. So why do you see the piece of sawdust in another believer's eye and not notice the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to another believer, let me take that piece of sawdust out of your eye when you have a beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, remove the beam from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. I love that passage. I love that picture. It's from a guy. I'm trying to remember his name now. He does. He plays music and does humor things. I see him at the VBS training I go to all the time. And he's got a great song that goes with that picture. That's really cute because he calls that Log Eye. He's got a song called Log Eye. And it's really a good song that I enjoy. But it's so easy. Why is it so easy to see everybody else's sin than it is to see ours? Why, you know, I like this. So why do you see the piece of sawdust? So why do you see it in somebody else's eye? You know, why is it so easy? You know, I wrestle with that. You need to know. I tried to think of an answer. Yeah, I'm dumb. I'll try to figure it out. I don't know. Is it because if I can point out their sins and their sins are bigger than mine, I'm better than them? Does that kind of help sometimes? You know, because their sins are worse than mine. You know, they got the big sins and my little sins. You know, they tell big lies, I only tell white lies. Right? Come on. Yeah. Do we do that because we want to make ourselves look better? And it makes us feel better. You know, I was trying to figure out why do I do that? Why is it so easy? And I've shared with you this. I come back and I became a Christian in the 70s, and there were some phrases that I learned that I really enjoy. And I've shared this with you many times. You're going to hear it. You keep coming. You're going to hear it over and over again. But I love it. Faults in others I do see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. Now you know I'm being sarcastic, right? Come on now. If you know me, you know I'm being sarcastic. But it's so easy to feel that way. It's so easy to feel that way. Now, I got a pastor because I wanted to, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with the faults in others? What do we do when we see a brother or a sister caught up in sin? Now, one of my things as pastor for me, here's one of my rules. I'm going to preach God's truth, all right? I'm going to tell you the truth of God. God's word says don't live together. I'm going to stand here in front of you and say, do not live together. If you're not married, don't shack up with somebody. All right? Can I be any plainer than that? If you're going to come to church and you're living with somebody, I want you here. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to put you down. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. Is that okay? I like what the Scripture says here. This is a great passage in Galatians. Look at what it says here in Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, if somebody is caught messing up, somebody is caught in sin, somebody's caught, you've seen somebody, they've slipped, they fell, something's happened, they made a poor choice. What do you do? How do you respond when somebody slipped and slid around? You who are spiritual should restore such a person. You who are spiritual. Now, I wrestle with that. What does it mean to be spiritual? I'm going to tell you something. I do not consider myself spiritually mature. All right? I do not consider myself spiritually mature. I am on a journey. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You know, there are some days I do better than others. Spiritually. I kind of go Paul. I kind of like what Paul says in the book of Philippians. He talks about being mature, and it's like, I'm mature, and yet in the next little phrase he says, but I'm not mature. Yeah. And so what he's saying, you know, maybe I'm a little further along in this one area than somebody else. I've often shared with individuals, I never drank in my life. I never used drugs in my life. I just didn't go down that path. I can't explain why. I can't tell you why. I mean, I was around. I worked at a movie theater, and the guy in the theater, I had to fire one of my cashiers in the theater, one of the candy guys in the theater, because he was selling pills from behind the counter and marijuana. I mean, he'd come in, you need something to keep you going? Yeah. And I had access to all that stuff. Alcohol, I don't know why God didn't take me that way. So when it comes to somebody who has those addictions, I need somebody that's been there. Because I'm going to tell you, it's hard to get through that. It's hard to overcome those addictions. And so, for me, when it says who are spiritual, it's not saying, well, I'm spiritual. I solved every Christian problem there is. I'm spiritual. You know, we look at those love, that love chapter, chapter 13 of the book of Corinthians, and I can do pretty good with most of them. You know, why'd I mention that one first? I don't do good with patience. I love others. I can do, you know, you just go through that love chapter. You know, all that kind, I can do pretty good. But when it comes to patience, you know, give me a big old zero. I struggle there. And then that's my driving attitude. Yeah. So when it, you know, if you're looking for patience, you shouldn't come and talk to me. You're looking for some other issues, you know, reading your Bible and so on. I can help you in some other areas. And so I look at that. Restore them. I want to make sure, I want to circle that word restore. That is a key word. It doesn't say, you are spiritual, throw the stinking sinner out. Bolt the door and lock it. It's not what it says. We have a responsibility to restore our brothers and sisters in Christ. Somebody asked me the other day about baptism. Do you have to join the church in order to get baptized? And it wasn't Norm, but it was another conversation I was having. Will you baptize somebody who doesn't want to be a member of your church? And I told them no. I said, it's like having a baby and saying, oh, I had a baby. Good luck. Because I feel as a pastor, when I baptize somebody, I have a responsibility. This church has a responsibility to nurture, to bring along, to be part of, to support. You know, got Mother's Day on the front of that thing. You know, can you imagine? I had a baby. Where's he at? I don't know. I left him at the hospital. Yeah. We have a responsibility to restore those of us who are spiritual, those of us who can walk alongside of somebody. You've heard me preach this before, and I'm going to bang this home today, right now. You do not confront somebody in sin if you're not willing to walk with them and restore them. That's what God's Word says right here. Does that make sense? If you see somebody battling a sin, it is not your job to go out and say, you are really screwed up. It's your job to go out there and say, you know what? I want to pray with you. I want to help you. Let's work at this together. I love the story. I listened to a preacher. He was telling the story of some lady. They have home groups like we do, and people having Bible study. And the lady said, in our Bible study group, the girl went out and she was smoking a cigarette right outside the door. You know, and she's telling the pastor all this, like, why is she smoking at our small group? Why is she? And the preacher goes, what was she smoking? Oh, it was a cigarette. She goes, whew, well, at least she's making growth. And it made me think, you know, hey, she's not smoking the hard, this other stuff over here. At least she's moving along. See, I love this. Look at what it says. And such a person with a gentle spirit. You need to see all the underlines I got there. I got all sorts of underlines on this passage. You restore them with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourself so that you won't be tempted. Now, I wrestled with this one for a minute. I thought, you know, when I first read this, I thought tempted to do the sin they're doing. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Can I be tempted to do the sin they're doing? So I got to watch out when I'm going to restore somebody that I'm not tempted to do that sin. But what about tempted to be self-righteous? Tempted to correct instead of restore. So I really started thinking about that. Like I said, I underlined all sorts of stuff here. Carry one another's burdens in this way. Go out and help them. Pick them up. Carry their burden. We went to Sacramento yesterday. Laura's cousin dinner, and we went by the memorial for the Vietnam Memorial. And they got these soldiers carrying one another, just supporting one another walking. Do we do that as Christians? We're in a battle. We're in a war. Satan is target. I'm going to tell you something. You might not know this, but on your back, Satan has a target. And we need to be there for one another, picking each other up, putting our arm around one another. It's a battle out there in this world. I don't know about you, but I'm tempted every day. Anybody? I'm tempted every day. I guarantee you, when I walk out of this church today, I'm going to be tempted. You know, it was really tempting this morning to go out there and tell them, get your stupid cars out in front of my parking lot. But I keep forgetting, I want to do something to minister to those people out there. I don't know what we can do. We keep talking about it. Somebody's got to figure it out. You know, what can we do to show them the love of Christ? Yeah. And so carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. I'm going to ask you this. This is a trick question, okay? Now, I want an answer. What is the law of Christ? He gave two of them. I'll give you a little hint. He gave two of them. What is the law of Christ? Anybody remember? What is it? Love the Lord and love your neighbor. That's what he's talking about here. The law of Christ. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, it's like, you think you're something? You're really a zero. You're not a hero, you're a zero. When he is nothing, he deserves himself. I like that. He deceives himself. But each person should examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. See, I think this is part of that why. I want to put myself up so I can have better respect for myself and boast in me so that they're worse than me. See, my sins isn't that. For each person will have to carry his own load. I just enjoyed this passage. See, I want to challenge us. God called us to righteousness. God called you to be righteous. And it's not going to happen because you do all things good. Because what did the scripture say? We read it earlier. It's like filthy rags. And none of us are righteous. Every one of us is a mess. But God will close this mess in righteousness through faith. Sometimes we kind of turn our back, and God is saying, come back. Come back. See, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you just kind of slid away from God. You know what God says, and you believe what God says, and you get caught up in the religion, the ought to, the have to. Or maybe you've been hurt, or you know, maybe you've been hurt in church, or maybe there's an emotional thing. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but maybe God is sitting there, and he said, yeah, I've watched over you, and you're going, why have you turned your back? God is sitting there. Do you need God to clothe you with righteousness this morning? Not because you're righteous, but because he's righteous. Do you need God to clothe you? Are you hurting? Is there a pain? Is there something in you, an abuse, a word that God says, I want to clothe you. Come and I'll just put this glorious robe on you. It will cover over everything. It will cover over everything. You will be white as snow again. Is that what the scripture says? Come to me. And so I invite you this morning, if you're hurting, God is saying, come to me. Not because you're a good person, not because you try to be good. Even I don't care how hard you try, God is saying, come. If you've never made a decision for Christ, today's the day. It's time to say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come on, life, and take control. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you've walked in. I don't care whose preacher's hand you shook. It might even been mine if you think you just, well, I just want to be saved. If you have not turned your will to God's will, God will not save you. He clothes you with righteousness when you surrender your heart to him. And then I challenge you to beware of self-righteousness this morning. As you look around and you think, and I'm going to guarantee, I was talking with somebody this week, most of us will go home, and on our way home, we'll say something about somebody that was in church today. Did you see what so-and-so was wearing? Anybody? Come on, you guys are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth, right? You know? Did you see what so-and-so did? Did you hear what they talked about this week? Did you hear what the preacher said? Talk about me. I'm sure some of you will. Yeah. At least it's a good topic. Yeah. I want to tell you something. Step away from self-righteousness. If you see somebody hurting, if you see a brother caught up in temptation, you know, one of the hardest things for me to realize, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't really realize this until just a few years ago, that the battle of addiction of alcohol and drugs is not won on the first tip of recovery. Did you know that? Usually it takes 3 or 4 times for somebody to go through a recovery program to overcome that sin, that overcome those addictions. My personality is suck it up. That's why I need somebody alongside of me to say, hey, slow down. Those addictions just don't go away one time. Yeah. It's easy to be self-righteous. But if a brother sins, you see a brother struggling, don't beat him up. We used to talk about, you know, a horse gets hurt. What do you do to the horse? You know, this racehorse gets hurt. What do they do to him? Anybody? Bye. We do that to our fellow Christians. You need to know, I've been in church long enough. Now, I'm going to tell you, I haven't seen it here. But I've been in a church where I watch people walk in on Sunday morning, and the pianist look over at somebody walking through that door, and I've seen sparks fly. I'm serious. We need to beware of self-righteousness. God clothes us. You are not righteous because you do right things. You are righteous because Jesus died on the cross and clothed you with righteousness through faith. Where are you at in your life? I put it this way at the bottom of your page. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for you, our loyalty is divided between God and the world. I want to challenge you this morning. Where are you? Come close to God. God wants to clothe you with righteousness. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God said, and he wants to clothe you with righteousness. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you've known this and maybe you've been mad at God. Maybe you've been angry with God. He just wasn't there and he didn't answer the question and he didn't deal with this person and this abuse or whatever and that pain. Maybe you need to come back to God. Maybe you need to make that first step. Maybe you've been a little judgmental. Maybe you've been a little self-righteous. I want to challenge you to come close to God and let him clothe you with righteousness. A righteousness that no one can take from you and that God will put on you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a gracious and merciful God. You're surely more graceful than we are to one another many times. But thank you for your grace and your mercy. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you want me to pray for you this morning. Maybe there's some battles in your life. Personal battles. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, and maybe there's some struggles. Maybe you're mad at God. Maybe you feel God hasn't been there for you. Maybe you need to take that step. Would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Thank you. I see it. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands lifted up. There's hurting individuals here. The battles of life have scarred them and injured them. But you are a loving, compassionate God. I ask you right now to pick their heart up, to lift up their spirits, to bring the presence of Jesus with a glorious robe of righteousness to place over them, that they can see themselves as forgiven, that they can see themselves as glorified, not because of what they've done, but because of who you are and what you have done. Touch hearts, encourage, and strengthen. In Jesus' name, amen. We always have a time in our church to give an invitation. It's real.